Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. It is March the 18th. No longer Wade's Friday.
Ha!
He's got a job tomorrow like the rest of us.
And I work the day after it too.
Aha, sucker. Welcome to the real world.
Next week, it will be my Friday.
Hashtag real life.
So screw you.
How does it feel being a grown-up?
He doesn't know. He hasn't got there yet.
Let's see. Still hasn't sunk in yet.
No, he's still still reveling in the concept.
I'm trying it for him in little kid words so you'll understand.
Oh, burn.
Nice.
How you doing, guys?
He's pretty happy with that one, actually. You should see him right now. He's
it took me a while, and that's the problem. Like, that's the only
flaw. That long, long buildup in his mind was so well worth it.
I was like, wait, pause for dramatic effect.
There you go.
That's not what happened. We're good. We're good over here.
That's
yeah.
what my mind says it is, so shut up.
it's a little warm in the studio, so you'll hear some ice tapping glasses,
some
but you'll have to
around.
Deal with it.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be what we've been doing this weekend.
Yeah. Somebody in our esteemed community decided that it was their business to know our business and reported us for only being able to park one vehicle in our garage when we're supposed to be able to park two, and claiming that we never park a vehicle in our garage. That's not true. We always park a vehicle in the garage.
This was also after being told that a commercial vehicle was parking in the thing. And oh yeah, just because one of our cars also parks in the same parking spot every now and then, it had to be ours.
Yeah, so the HOA has a policy that no work vehicles in the complex because they don't want it looking like an industrial work area. They want it all to be, you know, civilian cars, so to speak.
Yep. What if you have a company car?
Well, what's the company car, though? You know, if it's a Corolla, no one cares, but they don't want, like, construction trucks or big box vans or things like that taking up the parking spots in the complex.
I see.
So somebody had a big, like, one of those Dodge Sprinter vans that they use for automotive detailing and a big old vinyl wrap all over the side of the car. And we've seen it parked around the complex here and there. Well, somebody had reported it, and for some reason, people thought it was ours. We got a letter in the mail. It's like,
nice.
Not our vehicle, not registered to us, not owned by us. Whoever reported this was mistaken.
It's kind of funny they didn't even do their due diligence on, like, okay,
yeah,
who is this?
Right. So moving on to this past weekend, we got popped for having stuff in our garage. And although partially right, yeah, we only have the ability to park one vehicle in the garage, we still have a fourth vehicle that's at the shop that is intended to park in the garage. Since it's not here to park in the garage, we had other stuff in there. Well, we were given through the weekend to clear it out to park two vehicles in, which we have done, which puts two warm engines gradually cooling not far from the quote-unquote studio.
And that's
nice.
Why you will hear
so it
ice.
Gets a little toasty. Not to mention it's Southern California and we've had 90-degree weather already. So,
it's the second day of spring.
It's warm.
Sounds like they have issues.
Well, like anything, you know, the few ruin it for the many, and because the few have ruined it, the rules get more and more technical and
strict.
Yeah, enforced.
Yeah.
So.
Well, not only enforced, but interpreted as well to be stricter again.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, not a big deal. We knew we had to do it at some point. It just meant that stuff we were waiting to sell on Craigslist had to get donated, and tile that we have forecasted for the house gets moved to the backyard for now so that we have the opening in the garage. So that was...
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, that was fun. Not to mention piggybacking that onto a 6-day work week, and doesn't leave much of a fun weekend, really. But
so what you do Saturday afternoon?
Let's see. Well, I didn't leave work till about 3-something. 3:30 Saturday afternoon. Daughter was at a birthday party, so picked her up from that. Came home and did some mild work around the house. We were thinking about going to see a movie, but it didn't happen.
That sucks.
So that is what it is.
Yep.
This weekend will not, or this week will not be a 6-day work week. I forbid it. So there's that.
I'll have a word with your boss for you.
Go for it. Have fun. how you doing?
I am doing well.
Yep.
Yeah. Kind of a fun laid back weekend. I actually flew home a little bit early last week. My wife had a doctor's appointment, a follow-up with her neurologist. She had a checkup MRI a couple weeks ago, so this was the, we've had time to go over it, and now we want to talk to you.
Now, you know that procedure we did 2 weeks ago? We finally got around to looking at the results.
Yeah, you know, we took the photo out finally and went, oh, yeah, that's what that is.
Oh, okay.
Turns out we took out the wrong piece.
you kind of needed that piece. Actually, it was good news.
Cool.
She has one new lesion, but the doctor said a lot of the older ones are diminishing, and I don't know that they ever actually heal, but like the inflammation is going away, so she's getting better.
Cool. That's awesome.
So that is a wonderful piece of news. So then we celebrated. We went out, was it Friday night or Saturday night, and saw a monster truck show.
Nice.
Did you get to keep a bumper?
Did what?
Did you get to keep a bumper?
No.
Aw.
Tried to
They don't have bumpers. It's a solid fiberglass body.
There are other cars in those things that get destroyed.
Oh. Yeah, the cars that they run over.
That's true. Point.
They're real. Yep.
Point,
yep.
Wade.
Tally.
Wow, on a roll. and then we went to the local hobby shop. I guess that was Sunday, I think. I took my quadcopter out, and we actually had some nice weather. It got up into the high 50s. So
nice.
Yep. Out with the quadcopter and was having fun with that. And it's like, you know, I'd really like a bigger one. Let's go up the hobby shop and just look. We're just looking.
Sure.
So we went up to the hobby shop and we just looked.
And now he's got a table he needs to sand, paint, and stain.
No, I found one that about I really
flying
wanted.
Flying quadcopters, and you talked about staining a table.
Then he said he went to Hobby Lobby, and he said he was just looking.
Hobby People, which
hobby
is
shop.
A hobby shop. RC hobbies and stuff.
Yeah.
That went right over Wade's head.
Point take, Garrett.
Point deducted. So
still in the lead.
I found a quadcopter that I really, really like, and then I saw the price tag, and I was like, oh, okay, let's go home now.
So do you care to share any details?
The one that I found, it's I think it's a 400-millimeter square frame. Four rotors, so it's a quadcopter with a built-in gimbal-mounted camera. It records locally in high def, and then it has a wireless link through the controller, and it connects by Wi-Fi to your smartphone, and you actually get a remote view of what the camera is seeing on your phone in real time.
So kind of like a DJI Phantom, but maybe not quite.
Along the same lines, but where the Phantom, from what I can tell, you either have the, first person view, in which case you can't record it, or you have the, GoPro mount, in which case you can't see it.
Okay.
This is like a combination of the two.
Sure.
But, it's $1,000, so.
That'll do it. Now you make... Now, here's a downside. For those quadcopter people thinking about getting into it, I am building one as we speak. It's a 400-millimeter. For those who want to look it up, it's called a Hunter V-tail. Look pretty cool. I think it's more geared towards acrobatic flying than smooth filmography, so to speak. But with the transmitter and a decent, you know, 8 or 10 channel transmitter is going to cost you $400. So, I mean, just right off the top, you're looking at $400. The rest of the quad is probably going to cost me $600-ish. So, you know, I'm looking at the same price tag, all said and done, give or take. But it's a, you know, build it yourself and piecemeal it over time.
Sure.
Now, I've seen ready-to-fly stuff that are in the 250-millimeter category, and that's a diagonal for our listeners, for the 380, 400 mark. So you can get into it for a lot less, depending on what you want to do and how big you want to go.
Well, and the quad that I have right now, it was actually a Christmas present from my dad. It has the built-in camera, so you can't see what it's recording while it's recording. But
yep.
Even so, I want to say that it's like $80 or $90. You can get into it fairly cheap, but it's a little yeah. one. It's,
you can buy the micros for, I think I have one for about $60 that you can, you know, get your feet wet and play around with it. But if you, you know, decide it's something you really want to go into, there's a wide range, and the bigger you go, the more expensive you go, obviously. There's no, it's definitely a correlative factor. Yep.
And there's no limit. I mean, they had a couple Phantoms there. They were $1,500.
Yeah, Phantoms are expensive. And in the quadcopter community, they're kind of looked down upon. Not so much from the quad itself, but the people that buy Phantoms without a lot of technical knowing the workings of it. Sure. They just buy it, put the battery in, and fly it around and are stupid about it. They don't realize regulations or legalities. And
show up, hey guys, I got this.
Yeah, yeah, and crash it on people's roofs or, you know, just do stupid stuff.
The White House.
Yeah, that.
That was a Phantom.
Yep, yes it was.
There was a commercial where like the drones from like Amazon were apparently became sentient and were like hunting people down.
Nice.
Well, and Brad and I, all three of us,
I said you want
that...
this blanket.
Yeah.
I'm going to deliver this blanket.
Well, there's videos out there where people have modified quadcopters to have a paintball gun on it to shoot paintballs. There's one where people light Roman candles, attach it to it, and the quadcopter's flying around shooting Roman candles at people.
By the way, people agreed to have Roman candles shoot at them.
Yeah, don't do this because that's a felony.
Yeah. Do not do this
pretty much everywhere. So
consent
public service announcement
is required on that one.
And even then,
it's still not
I
a
would
great
question
idea.
The sanity of both ends of this.
That's correct. Yeah, good stuff there. Wade, did you have anything further to add into our introduction?
Not much, but have you guys seen that Burger King commercial, right? Lady walking through
it's
the market.
Carl's Jr.
Okay, Carl's Jr.
For the all-natural beef patty?
Yes.
I have not seen it. I've heard about it.
Yeah, you should probably YouTube that immediately.
Well, this same actress was on Dancing with the Stars.
Is she an actress?
Same actress.
Is she an actress?
Apparently she bills herself as one, so what am I to say?
Maybe
I
model.
Can't criticize a woman because that would be a crime.
I like what you did there. Point back to Wade.
So anyway, she's on Dancing with the Stars, and we were sitting there, me and our mother, Gareth, I think we were off at pool at that particular night.
I was.
And we asked, how do you choreograph her? I said,
this gal is massive in the chess department.
Yeah.
It's not a criticism, it's a fact. She's got to be a triple D into a E cup. I mean, she's just substantial.
You choreograph them. You don't. You just go whichever way the girls are going.
Follow the lead. I guess that's what they do in dancing, right?
It's helpful when you have a strong lead.
Or two of them in this case.
It's like, there's no way she's going like the different way they are going. So what do you want to do?
To the point they actually duct taped her down. Apparently a sports bra wasn't sufficient. So take that in consideration.
I don't think you make a sports bra that big.
Yeah, there's that.
But yeah, I mean, today or this week has been pretty nice. You know, getting settled in with the new job, how to make things. And
you're working an extra day this week and get a 3-day weekend next weekend. Is that accurate?
Yep.
Very cool.
So, it's just so fun when you ring someone up and they tell you, how much? It's like, God, not this again.
Welcome to the airport. Yeah. Thanks for playing. You don't like it? Go to McDonald's. They're 3 times more.
Well, what's real nice right now is that today we put up like signs.
Mm-hmm.
Where, I don't know why
expensive. Deal with it.
Where I don't know why these weren't out like when the store opened, but we got them out now where it's like, this is $11.99.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you didn't see this because you really have to be looking past it to see the food, I'm no longer having any sympathy for you.
Yeah. You've been warned.
I don't think it's right. I think it's price gouging, but it is, it's not unusual, especially for it's a case of captive markets. Mm-hmm. And it's not just airports. It's airports, it's stadiums, it's anywhere you have to go in and you get stuck and cannot leave.
Correct.
And I'm just saying, filler here, I don't control the prices. Yep. So yeah. When you yell at me, it's like, yep, preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Costs the same for the employees most times, so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, 10% discount. Oh no, I'm saving a dime.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Fantastic. Okay, well with that, movies. So this will be a quick one on the movies this time around because I don't have a lot of the back on this. It's been a busy week. But coming out this week, a little surprised by this, Insurgent at a mere critic rating of 30%. I can kind of understand it after seeing the trailers. It looks like they went really heavy with the special effects and the story may have gotten, put to the side. And a lot of criticism for the lead, Woodley, on her kind of dry personality brought to the role. Some critics saying it's the cheap or poor man's Hunger Games. I don't know. The first one, Divergent, was pretty good. I'll give this one a try, probably. But if you're going by the critics, you might want to avoid that one.
But then again, we've had gone against the critics and have liked it. So. Yep. There is that caveat there.
That's right. That's Chappie that we talked about 2 weeks ago. Or last week? Two weeks ago. I don't know.
It was still a good movie.
Go see it. Second coming out this week is called The Gunman. This is with Sean Penn. Again, critic warning on this one, 22%. This appears to be a kind of a movie about a mercenary, doing jobs for whoever's being, paying him or a group of people. And then they turn on them or something like that.
Would be the category of a mercenary.
That was being redundant for the sake of redundancy. shut up. Don't shut up. I don't care. Kind of one of those backstabbing action movies coming up. So The Gunman, there's that.
In short, if you've seen any Mission Impossible.
Pretty much, yeah. three others. These all appear to be limited releases. One is Do You Believe? That has no critic rating. Number two is Accidental Love at a critic rating of 0%. And finally, Kimiko.
It doesn't exist, apparently.
No, the critics saw it, and they all hated it, apparently.
Oh, God.
And finally,
that one's going to be good.
Yes, everyone rush out to see that. Lastly is Kimiko, the Treasure Hunter. I believe that to be an anime.
I don't know.
Not sure.
I saw like
Let's take a look. It's got a 90% critic rating.
I saw like the streaming font.
It's not. It is live action. The picture for it looks to be kind of a Red Riding Hood type thing. Anyway, directed by David Zeller. And it is currently unrated from a content-wise, as far as R, PG-13, whatever. The lead actress is the gal from Pacific Rim, the Asian is the lead gal. She was also in that, what was that samurai movie with 47 Ronin? She was in that as well. She played the witch character. The
dragon.
Yeah, it turns into the dragon. Spoiler.
If
you haven't seen it, it's your fault now.
You weren't gonna. Jeez.
It's been on HBO. Get to work.
That's right.
Sorry.
suck up.
I have homework tonight.
YouTube videos and Netflix.
It's women's chest and dragons. I don't see how that's homework.
Game of Thrones? Oh, wait. That's less than a month away. That's fine. In the box office top four this week, we have Cinderella pulling in $67.9 million. Run All Night, that is the Liam Neeson movie, pulled in $11 million. The Kingsman sticking in the top four. It's fighting the good fight, $6.2 million. And finally, Focus at $5.7 million. Honorable mention here, because we liked it so much, Chappie is in the fifth slot at $5.7 million as well. It's actually
you extended it.
It's a three-way tie for fourth, okay? We have three movies at $5.7 million, the last one being the second-best Exotic Marigold Hotel. So definitely some good movies out there. Get out there, check them out. And if you're a fan of the Divergent series and see Insurgent, do let us know what you think regarding were the critics spot on, or do you think they sold it a little short? We'd like to know. And with that, news time.
So some interesting and exciting news this week, and some not so exciting news this week.
Wah-wah.
We're going to start off seeing as we led with some quadcopter shenanigans in the personal section. A guy last week, received a notice from the FAA to cease and desist his quadcopter operations after posting his videos to YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Now, this
is... Where is he supposed to post
this,
them?
Say again?
Motion?
Where is he supposed to post his videos?
Well, the problem wasn't necessarily that they went on YouTube. The problem was that he clicked that little checkbox that we so often do when we upload ours that says monetize.
Okay.
And he doesn't have the people's consent in the videos?
No. Now that it's monetized, the FAA views this as a commercial video because he is being paid to fly. And he is now running afoul of the commercial use requirements.
So
that he is not licensed, and you know,
because he doesn't have an FAA registration to fly commercially,
correct.
He cannot monetize his quadcopter videos.
Correct.
Do you have any information as to how difficult it is to get the FAA commercial registration?
We discussed this a few weeks back when they first announced it. To my knowledge, you cannot at the moment. They're still working on implementing the procedures. I mean, there is a way to do it, but I don't think you can do it yet because they're still working out how to implement it.
So they can penalize you for not having it, but they don't give you the ability to acquire it.
Is it catch 22 if I ever heard one?
Fact checkers checking right now.
Yeah,
yes,
both
they
of them.
Are. Put those interns to work.
It's about time they did something.
Something like that.
But yeah, I just thought it was interesting. So one thing that did come out of this, it was the letter was sent by not the national FAA, but by the local safety inspector. You know, the FAA has various field offices. So it is now under review and it's looking into what was the best way to handle this.
Well, so there's my question, right? If I were to monetize a quadcopter video, who has jurisdiction over that? Is it the California FAA? How do they know that the video originated in California? Is it federal FAA because it was posted to YouTube is now, accessible nationwide? Who gets the say so?
Haven't you been listening to our podcasts? NSA have stuff on here.
They know
like
where it
IP
was.
Address, this guy, okay, done.
So
I have nothing to say back to that.
Because I'm right.
I don't.
You know he's right.
I do. That's the terrible, terrible agony of it, is that I do.
When your computer crashes and you lose your email, send a letter to the NSA asking for your backup.
Wonder if that would work.
I doubt it. So, but the thing with this is, so there is only one FAA, right? It's sure. The Federal Aviation Administration.
Hence the F but part of the FAA.
Yes, the F part. It's federal. It's not something else we'd like to call them. But
this is a family-friendly PG podcast. No innuendos or profanity will be used.
We were just talking about a woman's chest size.
That wasn't in a sexual way, though. That was just descriptive.
Anyhow, so my guess is in this case they found out. It says that he was reported, right? The FAA safety inspector wasn't on the beach the day this happened. Somebody was annoyed by it and called.
Okay.
I have to be thinking, what are the odds of that, by the way?
Yeah. Yeah. Today's the day you chose to do this.
It's the one day the guy goes out with his newly made quadcopter.
Yep. So I'm not finding anything. There's a new website up. It's called knowbeforeyoufly.org. So I would recommend that anybody in our audience that owns and operates a quadcopter definitely go there and check it out, because these are the rules that you are being controlled under by operating a quadcopter. Even if it's the small micro ones, you are actually under the jurisdiction of the FAA. You are operating an aircraft.
And I'd actually recommend that if you go to the website and actually print out the rules, first of all, obviously understand them, but it's a good idea to have them with you so that if you do go flying and anyone gives you any sort of grief about it, you can refer back to these, whether it's a civilian or a authority figure. You have the documentation that you know what you're doing.
Cover your butt.
Yep.
Exactly. But I don't see anything right now about how to get licenses. I'm sure there is some information, and this just requires deeper digging. We're not going to belabor the point. We've already taken it too far, but you know, it's there is a clear case here that the guy is not operating this commercially. And I hope that they review it and find such. You know, you figure the five people that have watched his, well, it's probably 5 million now that it got national attention.
Yeah, but free publicity.
Yeah, you figure the couple people that actually would have watched his video, he would have made, you know, half of 1 cent.
Hey, penny in the mail.
Yeah.
He's not, this is not a commercial entity. This was a hobby. He took photos, he took video, he posted it on YouTube, and he monetized for his time, you know.
Yeah, that's different than someone. He's not doing it
for a commercial purpose.
Yeah, it's different than someone contracting services. Hey, I will pay you to video survey or document this whatever with your drone. You know, that's commercial use. Doing a private video and monetizing it because you have the ability to doesn't make it commercial.
Yeah.
And really, it doesn't matter what video it is. He's not getting paid for his quadcopter. He's selling sponsorship space on his videos.
Although technically you could argue that same argument for a bona fide commercial. You're selling the art.
Sure.
So, two-edged sword there.
I mean, with YouTube, when you monetize on YouTube and you monetize, what you're doing is you're selling sponsorship space. It's the same as a TV network selling to any commercial. That's what you're doing. It doesn't matter what the show is.
Yep. Yeah.
Go look up how much it costs to get a commercial spot in the Super Bowl.
For 30 seconds.
Yeah.
It's like $1 million for 30 seconds.
Enjoy.
It was more than that last year.
See, there you go.
It was several million dollars.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Moving on indeed. Let's see. We're having a little bit more of a discussionary topic or vibe tonight, and Brad has been tasked, so to speak, with the core topics.
Sure. So our next topic for discussion this evening is power distribution.
Okay.
What would you say if I told you that there is a theoretical experiment, there is a theory that has been done in small-scale experiments, has proven to work, to where we could harness power from the sun from space?
Intrigued?
I'd say, go on.
Do go on.
Feel free to elaborate further.
Scientists working for JAXA, which is Japan's Space Administration, have done an experiment where they have been able to wirelessly transmit fairly decent amounts of power. They beamed 1.8 kilowatts of power, which sounds like a lot until the next sentence says that it's enough to power an electric tea kettle.
Well, that's...
But...
You got to be careful because a heating element like an electric tea kettle
burns through a lot of power.
Think about this. When you go to buy a light bulb, those are 60-watt light bulbs.
Yes.
You're talking kilowatts here, so you're talking hundreds of light bulbs.
Yes. And this was small scale, as he said.
Yes. So they were able to transmit 1.8 kilowatts over 50 meters with no wires.
What, it just generated a lightning bolt and they just arced it?
It's microwave. They're converting solar energy into microwaves, beaming it via microwaves and converting it back to electricity.
Well, the initial thought on my mind was, don't microwaves have a spread factor? How well can they be focused? Because there's a reason why we have those safety grids on our microwaves in our kitchen.
Sure.
And actually, this actually is kind of an interesting topic, too. Most people think of microwave machines, or microwaves in our kitchen, as heating elements.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not.
They are not.
Microwaves do not heat anything. They generate the radiation, which agitates the molecules that results in heat. But there is not a heating element like a toaster oven has a heating element. Microwaves don't have one of those. They don't physically heat up.
So a little bit of science The first thing when I say microwave, though, is you think the device in your kitchen.
Yes. Right?
Initially, yes, but then I think about radar because that's where microwaves were really kind of discovered was with military radar. And
the frequency range that microwaves actually fit into, we use for a lot of things.
Okay.
Wi-Fi is in the microwave range. Bluetooth is in the microwave range.
Okay. What cell is phone the distinction?
Towers, if you've ever seen the large communication towers, not the little individual cell sites, but the large transmission towers that have like a rectangular box that comes down into a cone shape.
Okay.
They're microwave transmitters that can transmit data signals over hundreds of miles. So we're already using microwaves for a lot of things.
Okay. Fair enough.
And it's an energy-bearing signal, essentially. So what they're doing is they're converting it to this invisible power, invisible signal, and beaming it, well, in this case, 50 meters. Now, obviously, this needs to scale up. The eventual goal is rather than littering the countryside with solar panels, you take the solar panels out to space where there's nothing in between them and the solar energy.
Yeah, there's no
where they become atmosphere. Much more efficient.
Yep.
And then you collect the solar energy in space and convert it and beam it to the Earth via these microwaves.
So I just had another thought that popped into my head.
That's why this is a discussion topic.
Yes. So yet another satellite orbiting the Earth. I just got that image from WALL-E where he leaves the Earth and he bursts through the whole atmospheric satellite deal right at the edge of the atmosphere. And you got all of them from Sputnik to, you know, now we have solar exclusive satellites. Yep. You got to be careful because pretty much every satellite runs off of solar power. That's what the big old fins are for. But
the big old fan fins.
Big old fan fins. So I just got a WALL-E picture in my head.
Sitting here, like, I'm thinking, like, how do they stop these things from having, like, a shadow face? Would it be, what was it called? Eclipse kind of thing to it?
Sure.
You think you want to have these things be pretty massive to gain a lot of sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they would need to be fairly big to get any kind of decent.
Okay, but my statement is, how big is the ISS? And you never really see that in the sky.
No, but we would need to go monstrously bigger than that.
So would what's the survivability of something like that given space debris?
Well, and that those are all challenges that obviously still need to be overcome. I mean, how do you we've created our fair share of space junk up there.
Yeah.
And we still have naturally occurring debris in the form of micrometeorites and, you know, just general junk up there. Rocks and ice. And
I apologize. I just thought we have so much, quotes, junk up there. Why don't we start bringing that stuff back down and recycling it?
Cost.
Yeah.
Essentially, the plan up to now has been abandoned in place.
Yeah,
they burn out their fuel because the solar panels on the satellites that are up there only power the electronics. If you need to maneuver them, they have to have actual rocket fuel. Yes. Well, after several years of maneuvering, you run out of rocket fuel, so now you've got no way of controlling it, so you just abandon it.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose in theory you could try to collect it at the collect, you know, components or pieces of ISS, and when they send transport up there and back to potentially bring some of that back. However, with the space shuttle being out of commission and the potential transports used to ISS, those aren't very big now. We saw the SpaceX prototype, and it's a little cone of a transport. There's no real cargo bay.
And we're talking about a different orbit layer. The ISS isn't in the same orbit as a lot of the space debris. Otherwise, they'd be, you know,
colliding.
Yeah. Worried about collisions all the time.
So I'm just thinking, it's like, okay, so we have so much stuff up there. It's like, maybe just bring it back down and reuse it if it's just sitting up there being completely friggin' useless.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. I guess it requires men with a higher pay grade than mine.
higher pay grade than all of ours put together.
Yeah. Top men, sir. Top men.
If you were to actually top people.
Right.
Let's be correct here. Top people. There are a lot of really bright women in NASA.
That's true.
If you were to get on your search engine of choice and Google the word, oh darn, there I did it again.
This is not a product plug or an otherwise sponsored by any sort of outside.
Yes.
But do shop on Amazon.
Yes, we are sponsored by them.
If you were to search for space debris. There's actually a Wikipedia page. There is a government organization, I believe it's part of the Air Force, that is tasked with actually tracking space debris.
On a first note, type that in.
Okay, so we just typed that in and went to images.
Oh my god, that's horrifying.
It is scary. I mean, obviously some of this is fictional, but some of it's not. And I think that's a common misconception, is that we're so used to associating space with just vast emptiness.
Uh-huh.
We forget the sheer amount of crap.
That's the one there's actually like a fork and a coffee mug on that one.
That's actually the image from WALL-E right there.
So, yeah, make sure you're looking at the real ones and not the fake ones.
Not the WALL-E pictures.
There are some that are actually from NASA that show the cloud of space debris that we have put up there. And yeah, it is scary.
There's one from a space debris-CNES, and it looks like it's a digital rendering where it shows the United States in the green outline against a black background, and it shows all this red dots. And there's a solid sphere of red around the Earth and then splotty dots around it.
So this is what we've done.
Yeah.
There's actually one. How do I get... If you look up, like, there... How am I describing this? This is from NASA, and it's actually a decade time lapse. So there's a photo of the space debris in 1960, 1970, 80, 90, 2000, and 2010. And you can actually see it getting worse as the decades roll by.
Is that on the Wikipedia page?
No, it's not. That's, I just did a search for space debris orbits.
Okay. Fact checkers are searching.
Yep. So, you know, check it out. It's scary. And now we're talking about, well, you know, we routinely send more up there. We haven't stopped.
Now you see what I mean. I was with it. There's so much stuff out there.
Yep.
It's like, this is how much stuff we're wasting. And that's even in outer space. It's like, think of what we're wasting here.
Yep.
On the planet's surface.
It's scary.
Kind of odd how we got from, like, what were we talking about first?
Quadcopters and FAA to space debris?
Yeah.
That's how we do it.
I'm pretty sure space debris is cover won't be fine for flying over the recommended limit of quadcopters.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure those will never collide. So, satellites collecting solar energy, beaming them back to the Earth's surface with microwaves to be collected and fed into the power grid, supposedly.
Yes.
Well, it puts nuclear power out of business, doesn't it?
It does. I think
that would be another major issue, is how far would the nuclear power people go to stop it?
Lobbyists lobby.
That's their job.
That's what they do. Okay. Well, I mean it. And then once we figure out how to do that efficiently, we can figure out how to digitize people and send them through microwaves to another point. And ta-da!
So I don't have a article to go along with this, but this is actually throwing back several years. A research team in Australia,
of course,
was experimenting with lasers, because laser has the unusual property of being both a particle and a wave, which means it has substance. So they were playing with it, working on the Star Trek transporter concept, and they were able to transport a laser beam, a short distance, but dematerialize it in one area and rematerialize it in another. So, you know, digitizing people and sending them. No, we're not to that complexity yet, but we have started to figure out how to transport non-living material.
Did they not do a screen capture of Spock's teleportationist equation? I mean, come on. They should have. Right there.
Yeah, yeah. Here's how to transport while at warp.
That's right. I mean, if we can do that, we've got to be able to reverse engineer at not warp. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know.
Ridiculous.
It was all right there on the blackboard.
Right there.
What's the matter with these people?
It's ridiculous.
Call it the Nimoy effect.
I like that.
Nimoy project.
I like that. 2 points.
You're welcome.
2 points. 2 points to Gryffindor.
So, switching gears slightly, but staying in the science vein.
Of course.
A lot of medical science happens by accident. We're trying like to Viagra. Do something, and by happy accident, we discover, oh, that does something else.
Like Viagra.
Like Viagra.
Oh, wait, that doesn't go. Like. Hey, wait. That
hey, now this guy's complaining of a sure stiff that's arm.
That's exactly what happened, actually. This pill will lower your blood pressure. Oh, and look at that. Pacemakers. Yes, pacemakers.
Penicillin.
Yeah, was discovered by bacteria.
So this recent discovery is no different. These researchers at Stanford have been working on ALL, acute lymphocytic leukemia. The problem is with ALL, once they remove the cells from the body, they die quickly. Okay. And that's not good to work on, right? You need the cells to be alive for you to experiment and figure out how to kill them.
Sure.
Well, in the process of trying to figure out how to kill them, in the process of figuring out how to make them live longer, they actually figured out how to convert them from cancer into immune cells.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
Now, the cool thing about this, obviously, again, keeping in mind this is still in the lab and not to the experiment stage yet, or the trial stage, but these cells that they were able to convert to immune cells remembered where they came from and therefore had the information on how to fight the cancer that they once were.
That's awesome.
That's great.
And so once they converted them, they changed to white blood cells and started working on other cancer. So they have done this into... They have done some experiments with mice. They added these reprogrammed cells into mice in which they had killed their immune systems. And they did not get cancer from these converted cells.
Okay.
So the
cells essentially carry no cancer with them, aside from knowing how to fight cancer.
Aside from knowing that they once were and that this isn't right.
Okay.
So they will have a built-in leg up, essentially. Not necessarily that it's an automatic cure, but they come with a, you know, like I said, a built-in information that your immune system doesn't normally have that these like cancerous cells need to be dealt with.
Yeah, so it's like a specified white blood cell that specifically targets the cancer it once was.
It's a tactical yep. insertion team.
Yep,
exactly.
SEAL team. SEAL team cells.
Exactly.
Well, that's really cool. I mean, we've seen some pretty progressive cancer treatments from, we talked about this before, I think, but inserting the AIDS virus, where the AIDS virus is stronger than the cancer and the AIDS wipes out the cancer. Yeah, the patient now has to live with AIDS for the rest of their life, but they would have been dead if this didn't happen.
Right, and the thing with AIDS is AIDS, well, obviously it's the same disease, but AIDS now is not the AIDS of the 70s. Yes, it's still permanent. Yes, we still have no cure, but we do have ways to manage it. It is not a death sentence anymore.
Yeah, it's not a, yeah, exactly that.
You know, so, and in other exciting news, and... I don't know that we have time to go into the depths of this at the moment, but the link will be in the show notes. More medical science news. Again, fighting cancer, specifically leukemia. They're getting ready to do a patient trial on a critically ill leukemia patient who has been given 6 months to live and therefore qualifies for the, hey, let's try what we don't know treatments.
Yep.
is getting ready to receive an injection of nanobots.
Oh, really?
That have been programmed specifically to destroy leukemia cells.
Okay. That's awesome. Assuming it works.
Yeah. Assuming it works. No.
My follow-up would be
That's why they've picked a patient who, you know, is already terminal.
Yeah. If it works, great. If it doesn't, we're just out the cost of the test.
And so a standard syringe, whatever you want to call a standard syringe, will contain 1 trillion nanobots.
Okay.
That will flood the patient's system in theory and start working on the leukemia.
What's the extraction plan?
My guess, and I didn't get a chance to go that far into detail on this one, so check the show notes and read. My guess is that they will just go dormant.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know, I mean, once they've done their job and there's nothing more for them to hunt down.
And the body, and the body, in theory, won't see an outside sort of contaminant. And I mean, I'm just thinking out loud here, obviously.
Sure. Yeah. No. Supposedly,
because it's not biological, it.
Supposedly, they've already accounted for that, and that the nanobots will not cause an immune response.
That is
so the body won't fight it.
Until there's a glitch in the programming and they start eating carbon.
Yeah. Oh, look, calcium. We don't like that anymore. Now you have no bones.
Or we really like that.
Yeah. Give us more.
Well, I can tell you what, though, seeing as it's technology, you know already who already has a dog in this?
NSA.
The NSA are already monitoring the nanobots, I'm sure.
They've got subroutines.
Yup. Backdoors.
Yeah, that leads us back to our old podcast, one of our old podcasts where it's...
One? Try like several.
Well, specifically, the one where it's scary of nanobots is how they may have, you know, control over that. And people say, well, you can't control me if I go somewhere. It's, you remember all those cell towers they built?
Mm-hmm.
How do you think they stay and log in with your cell phone? Same technology they can put into nanomachines, but we are going into a doomsday scenario. So,
of course.
Well, unfortunately, the doomsday scenario is becoming quite real.
That's true.
It is.
It's scary. So, but I tell you what, the things that we're experimenting on in science is really exciting and really cool. And, you know, it's a great... From the science side of it, it's a great time to be alive.
For the doomsday scientist, it's an excellent time. No, kidding.
Yeah, but one of the things that one of our coworkers has told me a few times, and it rings true, it's one thing to think of the future and imagine all the stuff that you can imagine. Now, factor in all the stuff that you haven't imagined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at our both parents and the things, the good and bad, and you look at the changes of technology that our parents have gone through, you know, and grandparents, radios to TVs to color TVs to, you know, things we take for granted, microwaves, CDs, records to cassettes to CDs to digitizing everything. You know, it's crazy. And now think of that based on the technology of today and the stuff we could have. I mean, it's mind blowing.
And the stuff that we can't think of yet.
Exactly. Because that's the cool stuff.
Well, we'll start remembering when we used to go Xbox, go to Bing, we'll be like, brain, play Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just streams into your ears.
Stream directly into your brain.
Yep.
It's so crystal clear. It's like it's playing inside my head.
Nope, that's pretty cool. Yeah, a lot of fun stuff. And like Wade says, I mean, potentially scary stuff. I mean, it's not to be discounted just because it's nefarious. I mean, it's still very real.
Well, so. I am of the opinion that technology in and of itself is agnostic.
Of course.
It is a tool. It is a platform. You can use it for good or evil. You know,
the technology doesn't care either way.
It's the person.
The technology itself, yes. The technology itself is completely agnostic. It's what you do with it. So I'm all for technological advancement. I think this is exciting. You know, I'm a geek. This tickles me. But we need to be careful where we go with it and what we do with it.
Yeah, morality still needs to be the primary.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, that does it for our time. I think we've hit it pretty much on the head. We touched on some fun topics today. You know, for those people with the quadcopters out there going to YouTube,
be careful.
Maybe hold off on the monetization button for now.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't get to hold up a sign say, go to Joe's Crab Shack.
Yeah, or yeah. Well, I was going to say, have your video physically sponsored. Wait, no, that makes it commercial.
Nope.
So, don't do that.
This is one of those things. We're in a transition period. We're in a very gray period. There's the, you know, even the FAA is still trying to figure out what they're doing.
Yep.
You know, this is new for everybody. So, you know, if I could offer any advice to my fellow quad pilot or, you know, multi-rotor unmanned aerial vehicle pilots out there, use your head. Don't be stupid. You know, they're still trying to figure this out. It's in flux right now, but you being stupid can ruin it for everybody. Don't be stupid.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy.
FFA a reason
beyond what they already have.
Bring down the hammer.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. They're trying to be reasonable. Let us be reasonable and don't give them a reason to
be that's it.
Unreasonable.
And let us know about what some of the other stuff we talked about today with the medical nanobots and
all that kind of fun stuff. And
the solar wireless transmission. I mean, sounds cool to us. Let us know what you think on Facebook or on Twitter.
Now you say it sounds like something from Dragon Ball Z.
solar transmission. God, I missed that show.
We absolutely want to hear both sides of the argument. If you disagree with us, if you think we missed something, and this is a horrible idea, please, we want to hear. we have open minds and want to hear both sides of the story.
That's right.
So
first person to disagree gets a shout out. With evidence. You don't just get to say you disagree.
I disagree. Right. First.
Nope.
First.
Thanks again for listening, everybody. We do appreciate it, and we will talk to you next week.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.